When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
My car really needs a wash.
The $20 Meguiar's bundle includes Gold Class car wash for a showroom shine.
Get in zone.
And what about my tires?
Just spray the included Hot Shine tire coating and you're all set.
Get in zone.
The inside is not great.
No problem. The quick interior detailer in the bundle can help with that too.
Get in zone. AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
It's time to get inside the Giants home.
Let's go, let's go, let's go.
On Giants.com.
Like it, I like it, I like it.
And the Giants mobile app.
Boom, give me some juice.
Part of the Giants podcast network.
Let's roll.
Welcome to the Giants Huddle podcast. John Schmelk, Sean O'Hara with you. It's all brought to you by Citizens, the official bank of the New York football Giants. Sean, the Giants were busy in free agency, including two offensive linemen. So who better to talk to than our resident offensive lineman here, Sean O'Hara. So Sean, let's get right to it.
Yeah.
Start with John Runyon.
Yeah.
What do you see from him when you watch him on tape?
Well, listen, we talked so much at this exact table last season about, man, the offensive line's just got to get better. They're not playing well. They're not producing. The Giants are on a mission to fix that. So John Runyon is an unbelievably consistent player. I really like his film because when you start watching the game film of him, he's so consistent. His footwork is excellent. He's got great hands. There's some times when speed can kind of bother him a little bit, but that happens a lot with young players. And I feel like John Runyon, we're getting him at the perfect time in his career. Like, this is his prime. And I think his best football is ahead of him. I really like the toughness that he brings. Obviously, he's got that in his DNA from his father playing tackle for so long in the NFL. But John Runyon's got a great punch. Watching him on film, as I know you've seen him as well, he does a great job with his initial punch, but he does a good job replacing the hand. So that's always one thing that you look at with offensive linemen. All right, how much more are we going to have to correct once he gets here? I don't think technique-wise there's a whole lot that he really has to polish up. The footwork is there. The change of direction, sometimes it can be a little bit slow or he'll be a little bit behind the guy, but I think his athleticism in the run game really shows up. And
you
he can
tell,
reach a
by
guy,
way,
he can backside cut off. It's really good.
You can tell he played tackle in college. Remember, he was Michigan's starting left tackle. He pass blocks like a tackle playing guard a lot of times when you watch him, right?
Yeah, a lot of times guards, true guards, they don't handle space very well. They don't have that length, and they don't like punching and kind of having that full extension. They want everything kind of in tight. He definitely can handle himself in space. So to your point, if you play tackle in college, you were probably one of the better athletes on that offensive line. So now moving into guard, the athleticism shows up. I think the one thing that you always worry about with tackles moving into guard is, can they handle the power? Because now you're dealing with bigger bodies. And he's done a good job with anchoring. And, you know, whenever he's got a power rusher coming on, he does a pretty good job of settling that down and slowing it down. So I think for the Giants, they got a great upgrade at the guard position from a consistency level. And the pass protection is always what you hang your hat on as an offensive lineman. But what I really like about what John Runyon brings to the run game is he's got a little bit of a nastiness to him. He's got a little finish in him. Like, he likes pushing people. He likes pushing the piles. He likes moving people off the line of scrimmage. And I think that's something that's going to really benefit the Giants.
I wouldn't consider him a mauler necessarily, though. You know, he's not like
not a pancaker,
DJ Fluker type that's going to dominate one-on-one blocks and pancake guys. But I think to your point with the pass protection, Sean, that's clearly a priority based on the two guys the Giants brought in, and we'll get to Jermaine Illuminor in a second. And the thing that I like watching Runyon, you can tell he's smart and he studies. Based on how the defensive line is lined up, his head is on a swivel at all times, looking for those twists and stunts and the loopers, which is something this Giants offensive line has had issues with for years.
Yeah, I know it's tough for me to actually admit this, but defensive linemen are typically better athletes than O-linemen. So, you know, if it's a foot race or if it's a speed thing, like, they probably have the edge or the advantage, but anticipation is so key. And to your point, it's a great point. He has great football intelligence, great awareness to what is this defense trying to do to me. And, you know, when you turn on the film and you watch, he picks up stunts really well. Whether it's a tackle in twist on the defensive line position or whether it's a stunting defensive lineman and a linebacker that's added to that blitz. He always seems to be in the right position. He anticipates that well, so he's never out of balance. He's never over his skis. He's never top heavy. And I think a lot of that comes from film study, but also just understanding schemes and what defense are trying to do to you.
You love turf. You're good at it. So you start a turf biz. Business grows. Your savings grow. Become the most celebrated name in turf. Are you ready for all that life brings?
John Soto Podcast is brought to you by Citizens, the official bank of the Giants. From game day to everyday, Citizens is made ready for Giant fans with insights, guidance, and solutions. Learn more at citizensbank.com. All right, let's jump to Jermaine Illuminor now, Sean. And he's a guy that played primarily right tackle for the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
The last couple of years, played a little left tackle as well, played a little guard too. When you see him on tape, how would you classify him in terms of offensive lineman style? What are the Giants getting with him?
Yeah, that's a great question. He's got a unique style because when you look at him, you're not like, wow, this guy's super fast and, you know, he's not a super mauler. He's almost like passively strong. And I don't know if that's even a thing. I don't know if that's a style.
It is now.
I think he makes it look easy, and for such a big guy, he's pretty graceful. And I think a lot of times you can watch a guy in a pass set, and it just looks like he's just working so hard. Like, he's fighting his body to get back in the pass set. He almost kind of reminds me of Donald Penn a little bit with the way that he kind of glides back. And it's a lot of times for offensive line play, you have to find what works for you. And Jermaine Illuminor has done a great job of morphing. From when I watched film of him coming out of college to the player he is now, he is so much stronger. He's so much more technically sound with his hands. And he's got heavy hands. Like, the one thing that I'll say about a style play, like, when he punches guys and when he gets on guys, he moves them, and, like, that's it's over. Like, rarely do you see him punch a guy, lock onto a guy, and then lose him late in the play. Like, he's a good finisher. So I call that a heavy-handed guy, because when he punches you, it can be with one hand sometimes or with both hands. Like, he moves you. He basically stops the pass rush there. So I like what he does with his hands. He's got a really good anchor, and I think he uses that to his advantage. He uses that when he's setting as a tackle, because he knows, hey, I can vertical set a little bit and buy time, because you're not going to run me over. You're not going to just knock me back into the quarterback. I can sit down on this on a power rush. I can get my hands in, and I can maintain that anchor, drop my hips. So I think that gives him an edge against any kind of rusher that really builds everything off of the power first.
I like to go back and take a look at these guys and see, well, where'd they struggle, right? Where are some, when they gave up pressures, why did they give them up? And you go back, and I watched all of Illuminor's pressures, and 90% of them is based on speed around the edge.
Yeah.
To your point, he doesn't get bull rushed. He anchors extremely well. I think he does a good job of protecting his inside shoulder. He doesn't get beat inside a ton.
Yep.
But he does give up some speed sometimes. But a lot of it is to some of the best players in the league.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He gave up 6 sacks basically last year, and 2 of them were to T.J. Watt.
He's pretty good.
Terrorized some of the best tackles in the league. And 3 of them were against the Raiders, against Khalil Mack and the Chargers. And the one thing that was a common thread with that, yes, they were edge rushes, but 2 of them, he was late off the ball. So as you're watching the film, you're like, man, like, is he struggling with the speed rush or up? He was late off the ball. So that compounding each other made it even worse. But I think every tackle's biggest fear is getting beat right now. Like, the speed rush guy, that's one of the toughest blocks for a tackle, because you're trying to beat him to a point, that intersection point. So that's always the challenge, and I think he knows that too. That's why I think what I was saying was he'll take more of a vertical set to meet that guy as opposed to jumping out there, because you don't see him getting beat inside. So that tells me that he's not oversetting. He's not so worried that I got to get out there for the speed rusher that I'm overcommitting and now I'm giving him the inside move. So he does a good job giving them a one-way go. So I think he's done a great job of kind of understanding what pass rushers are trying to do to him, and he knows his limitations. He knows, like, all right, that speed is one of my challenges. I've got a vertical set. I've got the power to withstand if they turn it into a bull rush. But I think his ability too, he started at right tackle. He started at left tackle. He can play both sides, and that is such a rare commodity to have a guy that can go over to the left side and play just as well on the other side of the football.
And he can move in and play guard too. And the way you talk about his power and his anchor, even though he's a little bit taller, makes me think, look, if Evan Neal gets with Carmen Barcelo and they decide that, look, he's made strides here and we, you know, starting right tackle, we're good with that. And you want to make Jermaine Illuminor your starting right guard and put him right between Neal and Schmitz opening day? Watching tape, there's no reason to think that with Illuminor's strength and his athleticism, that that's something he can't do.
I think it could be a viable option at left guard, too. You know, I mean, if Runyon's your right guard and Illuminor ends up being, it's who are my best five? Well, I think Illuminor has a chance to be one of those five.
Just talking to Runyon, remember, we talked about him playing left tackle in Michigan. I think he actually feels more natural at left guard than right guard.
Right,
so figure it out.
Yeah, and they'll try them both.
Yeah.
And you know what? If Runyon's at left guard and then now you have Illuminor at right guard next to Evan Neal, that's a lot of beef over there. So, and I think that would be a very attractive combination if you're using that right side of the line as your power blocking techniques.
And then Illuminor, too. You mentioned this with Runyon. He's just starting to play his best football. Remember, Jermaine Illuminor, he might be closer to 30, but he didn't start playing football till high school. He grew up in London.
Yeah, he's a late bloomer.
Where he played soccer, by the way.
Right.
Then he came here, started playing American football, also wrestled in high school. So you got the feet from soccer. You got the hands from wrestling. So, you know, talking to him, and you guys go check it out on the Giants YouTube channel. He did a 17-minute conversation with the guy. And he said, John, I sucked my first 5 years in the league. I was a bad player. I was not very good. But I've figured it out now, and I'm better. And I'm ready to start and be a contributing player. So I think he's a guy that maybe you had to be a little bit more patient with because he was later to the game.
Yeah, I love the awareness. You know, hey, look, this is what I was not good at. And so now, you know, admitting it is the first part and then fixing it is the next. So I think that he's got that great personality. Like, Giants fans are already falling in love with him because he's talking about how much it means to him to wear the NY on his helmet and to wear the blue uniform. He's a Jersey kid. You mentioned, like, he grew up playing soccer. His first NFL football game he ever watched was the Giants against the Dolphins in Wembley Stadium.
He was looking for the Arsenal game, he told me. He just came on. He's like, hey, what's this?
Yeah, what is this game? You know, football, where it's football, but they use their hands. I'm not trying to figure that out. And I think that kind of grew his passion. So I remember talking to him when he was coming out. I was at the Combine, and, you know, being a Jersey kid, you know, I just said hello to him, and he was like, man, it would be my dream to play for the Giants. So, Jermaine, I'm sorry it took so long, but you're finally here. I kind of went through the same path. I played in Cleveland for 4 years, and then I came home. So welcome home. Welcome back to Jersey. We got to ask him if it's Taylor ham or pork roll. We got all kinds of questions for him.
You might have someone, a British version of that we don't know about.
Oh, yeah, bangers, something like that, bangers and mash, a little bloody sausage. I don't know. But I like his tenacity, and I like his personality. Like, offensive linemen, we're different breeds. Like, we know it. We have this term we call the mushroom society, where people just kind of put us in the corner of a dark place and we will thrive. Like, we are okay with that. He represents all of that. Like, he loves the grind, and you watch film, he loves just mauling people. Like, he's a very physical player, and I like that about him. He's got a little nastiness in him. Like, he likes taking guys to the ground. He likes throwing a little dirt on them. So I think that personality is infectious, and I think it's contagious, and I think other guys build off of that. Runyon has that as well from his time in Michigan. Look, that offensive line has been one of the best in the league for one of the best in college football for a couple of years. They won the Joe Moore Award a couple of years ago. And so, obviously, national championship, they're very proud of all that, as they will tell you over and over again. But I'm really happy for Jermaine Illuminor because he's excited. Like, he's excited to be a part of this franchise. He's so geeked up. If you follow him on social media, you know he's been super geeked up about it. He can't wait to run out of that tunnel at MetLife and greet the fans for the first time.
Sounds like a Rutgers alum that's tired of hearing from people he knows that went to Michigan. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, you hear it a little bit. You get tired of it. Yeah. We're over it.
Giant fans love a winner. It's why they love Citizens. Named a 2022 Best Bank in the U.S. by The Banker. As the official bank of the Giants and sponsor of the Huddle, Citizens is made ready for fans of Big Blue. Learn more at citizensbank.com. Sean has a birthday party to get to. We have BB Can here, too, so we got a couple more minutes. But I
got
to
cupcakes. We got cupcakes waiting for us.
We do. But we have to get to the big move the Giants made, Sean.
Yeah.
But let's start with what allowed them to make that big move. And that's losing Saquon Barkley and Xavier McKinney. And I was trying to explain to fans opportunity cost, right? All right, well, if you don't sign Saquon and Xavier McKinney, well, guess what? Then you have that money to allocate elsewhere. And that's what the Giants did by paying the second round pick, I'll call it the toll, to just have access to the player, then trade and sign Brian Burns to a big-time contract. You look at his production and you think, Only 10 sacks once?
Yeah, I thought there'd be more, right?
Yeah. And then you look at the tape and you're like, boy, I really think there should have been more.
Yeah.
I loved him coming out in college. I remember, I think you were here that draft night. We wanted him to drop to the Giants. So the Giants got Dexter Lawrence and worked that anyway.
Yeah.
But boy, you watch Brian Burns' tape. That guy has every pass rush move and trait you want from an edge guy.
Yeah, the word that came out of his press conference was relentless. And that's exactly how he is on film. And it's he's not just a pass rusher. Like, this dude is relentless on first down, on second down, and then third down, he's licking his chops. I think the production, it was shocking, because if you watch the film, you'd be like, this dude is double-digit sacks. Like, you know, he's probably, you know, top five in the league in pressures, because he's always harassing the quarterback. Part of it, look, let's be brutally honest here. The reason why the production wasn't great is Carolina sucks. Like, they were awful last year.
It's hard to rush the passer when you're losing.
You've got
to
have a lead. Like, you got to be in a game. So
right.
He probably, I don't know what the numbers probably say. I'm sure Next Gen Stats has it. But he probably has less pass rushes than all these other guys that have all the big sacks, because he just didn't get a chance to do it. So, look, their defense was the strong suit, but they didn't have the lead offensively. They were out of a lot of games early on. So that skews the production, no doubt about it. But his ability to impact the quarterback, there's so many times where he does such a great job. He's got an unbelievably explosive first step. And I think pairing him with Kayvon Thibodeau, now you have two guys that's really one of their strengths is getting off the ball. Osi Umenyiora had the best get off I'd ever seen in person. He has the best and quickest get off that I've ever played against, I've ever seen in the NFL. Brian Burns is in that category. He's got that first step. So you see him beating a lot of guys on the edge rush, and he does a great job of kind of dipping that shoulder and running that rim.
Dip and rip all day.
And a lot of times that quarterback feels that, and he has to step up, so he's stepping up into other defenders, whether it's Frankie Louvu or somebody else on the Carolina's defense.
Dexter Lawrence here.
Right.
Hello.
So now you've got two guys that are rushing the edge and forcing him to step up in the pocket to those interior guys. So nobody pushes the pocket better than Dexter Lawrence right now, as we all know. It's going to really complement each other. But the way that Brian Burns plays every other snap too, he's a difference maker, and he wreaks havoc. In this new defensive coordinator, defensive philosophy with Shane Bowen, the new defensive coordinator, he wants guys to just get in the backfield and create chaos.
And he'll line up at him a wide nine, which is exactly where you want
penetration.
Brian
Burns. Like, I want you just figure it out later. Like, you're not reading anything, you're not reacting to anything. Just cause havoc, wreck shop. And that's exactly what Brian Burns does. I think the thing that people are probably a little surprised about when they meet Brian Burns is how big he is.
Yeah, no, he was much. He didn't have as narrow of a frame as I thought. He was very wide.
He's much bigger in person, and on film, you don't really get an appreciation for that. And he's got super long arms, which as an offensive lineman, that's one of the most frustrating things. When you play against a guy that's got these go-go gadget arms, it makes it really hard to get into his body and to block him and to move him. So he has long arms. He uses them really well. He's got great hand technique.
And that's the whole speed to power thing, right? He threatens you with the outside, then he comes in with the long arm, and I've seen him put these offensive tackles on skates a number of times because they're ready for the speed, and then he comes with the long arm power.
Yeah, that speed gets them kind of on one foot, and then he can just kind of pry them open like a beer can. And I think that's what the Giants really love about him. And I think, too, he's one of those guys that he makes your defense better from his mindset and his attitude. Like, this guy's a worker. Like, he can't wait to just get to work and start with this new team. So I think that's a huge pickup. I think the production will come. But what he's bringing to this table, to the Giants defense, and what he's bringing to the table from an edge standpoint is, look, this guy is a force. And on third down, like, he's gonna make the quarterback position harassed. He's going to make it tough on him.
You're ready for a change. Payday comes early with Citizens. So go to that retreat. New you moves to the country. Now you're raising goats and launching a lifestyle brand. Are you ready for all that life brings?
And again, you mentioned the combination of him and Dexter Lawrence and Kayvon is just going to give offensive linemen absolute fits. All right, losses of Saquon and Xavier McKinney obviously hurt.
Yeah.
Talk about that, and then I love the addition of Devin Singletary. I know both of us were really impressed by his film, probably better than both of us thought it was going to be.
Yeah, Devin Singletary, the more film you watch on him, the more excited you get. And it's like, whoa, look at that. That was a great cut. Oh, my gosh, great vision. Great job setting up the block. How did he see that defender? Like, he's got a lot of upside.
I think his height helps him, Sean. He's so low to the ground. Yeah. He has good contact balance. Guys have trouble lining him up and getting him to the ground.
You never see him take a big hit.
No.
Like, he's always kind of at the last second making a little subtle move that's getting him another 1 or 2 yards. We call those dirty yards. But he's an explosive runner in the fact that he gets vertical. Like, Devin Singletary, you don't see him stringing plays out. He doesn't dance in the hole. He sees it, he hits it, and he accelerates through contact. So there's a lot to like with him. He, you know, you look at the production, it's kind of like Brian Burns thing. He's never had 1,000-yard rushing in a season, but he went down to Houston. Damian Pierce was the starting running back. Then he gets banged up. He took over the role and never, you know, basically never relinquished it. So he's kind of one of those players that you're like, we can't keep him off the field.
And
he's not productive.
And the yards get limited because he doesn't have those big explosive runs, because he doesn't have the top end speed, right? That's the one thing he's missing. I think he ran over 4.6 at the combine, right? So that's kind of, I think, where the yards get trimmed off a little bit. All right, final thing before we go, Sean.
I do want to touch on Saquon and Xavier.
Yeah, please.
Those, you kind of mentioned those, and we jumped right into Devin Singletary because we're so excited about Motor. But I feel like those were purely economical decisions.
Agreed.
And it wasn't that Xavier McKinney isn't a great player. It's that we weren't in that ballpark.
It was like position, cost, and building your roster.
Yeah, and so as you're looking at the pie, which is the salary cap, it's I only have so many pieces in that pie, and I've got to divvy out certain slices. If I give this person this big of a slice, that's taking away from, if you split the pie in half, half goes defense, half goes the offense. Now you're shrinking the amount of slices that are left for other players. So,
well, simply, you can't get Brian Burns if you pay Barkley and McKinney.
Right.
You can't.
So that's the Xavier McKinney thing. Look, and he was an unbelievable player for the Giants, a captain, played every single snap last year defensively, so he was durable. Now to Saquon. Saquon, I think for every Giants fan, this was so tough because he was the face of the franchise, and he was the heart and soul of the team. Last year, when Daniel Jones went down, people were coming to watch Saquon play, and that was kind of why it's been so hard to see him go to another team, let alone our division rivals in the Philadelphia Eagles. So that's been tough. But for Saquon, this was about guaranteed money, and I say this was all economically. This was guaranteed money for him. He's been hurt almost every year of his career. He knows that. So it's, I need to go for the most guaranteed money because I've got to protect my family. I only have so many years in the league, especially as a running back. Yeah. So that position is so physically brutal. I think for the Giants, this is one of the first times that I've seen a guy of that magnitude with that much star power that has basically chose another team over the Giants. That doesn't happen. Like, people don't leave here willingly to go to another place. It's usually because, hey, I'm getting more money. That's the case too. So from a production standpoint, you can replace Saquon Barkley. You can replace what he did in the run game. You can replace what he did as a receiver, the touchdowns, all of that. The difference with Saquon was just now all of a sudden defense really had to game plan for him. So it's, does it open things up? Well, I think when you look at the Giants offense, it was at times one-dimensional. It was all about Saquon, and if you stopped him, that was it. I think this offense is going to be different now. Devin Singletary can replace some of that production, and I think financially, from a team standpoint, it makes sense. As much as it's tough to see Saquon leave and go play for another team, it was the right move for the franchise, and really, it was the right move for Saquon as well because he got what he wanted.
Both players did what they had to do. I think the Giants did what they had to do, and sometimes that's just what happens. All right, real quick, 10 seconds or less. Giants now, sixth overall. What position are you keeping an eye on that you really think they need to add to make this team more complete?
Well, no doubt about it. They need offensive playmakers. They need explosive plays. Like, this game is about points. If you can't score points, you can't win football games. Too many times last year, the Giants defense was holding teams under 20 points and couldn't get the win. It was because we needed points. So I think with that sixth pick, if you can get a guy that provides instant production for you, you can't miss on that. So there's some receivers in this draft that are phenomenal. Marvin Harrison Jr., obviously. Neighbors is extremely explosive. And then Rome Odunze, who I've been, you know, really pitching because I like what he brings to that receiver room. Like, I call him wide receiver. This guy is no diva.
Big physical blocker.
This
guy,
he loves to get his hands dirty. He's competitive. I've never seen this before at the combine. John, he stayed after. The entire group he was working out with left the field. He was the only one out there, and he was repeating his L-cone drill because he wanted to get a better time. He already posted a time. They were like, you're fine, you're good. He's like, no.
It was a good time, by the way. It wasn't a bad time. Yeah. He's like, I can do better.
So in an age and an era where we have guys that are saying, I'm not going to work out, I'm not going to compete, I don't want to do it, this guy's saying, no, I can do better.
Also,
I love that competitive spirit in him.
And he played through broken ribs this year, too, as a wide receiver, all sorts of tough guy stuff. So Wolf showing out again before the draft. We'll break down some of the offensive line prospects and do all other stuff as well. But we got Tino and Lance ready to charge in here and kick us out. Showing Arizona is a birthday party to get to. So for Sean O'Hara, I'm John Schmelk. Thanks for joining us on the Giants Huddle Podcast, brought to you by Citizens, the official bank of the Giants. We'll see you next time.
Hey, guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.